الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله لقد جاءت رسول ربنا بالحق والصلاة والسلام على النبي الأمي العربي المكي المدني العبد المؤيد المصطفى الأمجد المحمود الأحمد أبو القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا أما بعد فقد قال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام في خطبة القاصعة I'm reading a part of the another portion of the sermon Qasi'ah in Nahj al-Balagha. This is sermon 192, and this which is about pride and kibr. And this part where Imam alayhi salam said, as it is reported, "Ala tarawna anna Allah subhanahu ikhtabara al-awwalina min ladun Adam salawatullahi alayhi ila al-akhirin من هذا العالم بأحجار لا تضر ولا تنفع ولا تبصر ولا تسمع فجعلها بيته الحرام الذي جعله للناس قيامة ثم وضعه بأوعر بقاع الأرض حجرا وأقل نتائق الدنيا مضرا." Regarding the examination of people through the commandments and instructions of Allah, in which mainly the tawazu of people is being tested. Whether people are humble and they obey, or they are proud and they refuse to obey, this is the basis of all tests and all the examinations. Whether they're the tests of the kind of, for example, do certain thing or don't do certain thing, or the natural tribulations, somebody getting sick, or for example, someone running into a problem or crisis or anything. The examinations and trials of Allah are around the circle, around the issue of tawazu. Allah wants to test who is mutawazi and who is mutakabbir. And all of that, sometimes a kibr of a person is broken through difficulties and hardships. Person thinks too highly of himself. When he runs into some troubles and difficulties, and he starts realizing, you know, that I'm just one person and like any other person. Here in this part of the sermon, it is about Kaaba. It's about the tests that Allah has put the whole, you know, humanity and Muslim nation through Kaaba. Kaaba is a test for people. Where Imam alayhi salam said, "Don't you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala certainly has tested the previous generations of the children of Adam till the akhirin, till the end of this dunya? All of these people have been tested, right? Tested with what? With a few stones. With a few stones, the whole of humanity is being tested. La tadurru wa la tanfa. These stones do not bring you any benefit nor cause any harm." He put those stones together and called it his house. He said, "This is just like any other stones. They are just stones, right? The stones that make up Kaaba are like any other stones." But he instructed Ibrahim alayhi salam to make that into a structure. And he called it Kaaba, he called it Baytullah al-Haram, he called it Masjid al-Haram, all the different names. And he said, "Purify this house. Tahhira baytiya lit-ta'ifina wal-aakifina wal-ruk'a'i sujood." That you, Ibrahim and Ismail, clean this place, purify this place, so that people can come and offer, right, tawaf and itikaf and, you know, and ruku and sujood and pray over there. From all over the world, through these few stones, Allah has tested the whole of humanity. What's special about these stones? With these two eyes, if you look at these stones, there's nothing special about the stones of Kaaba, just like any other He put it together, he's called it Kaaba. La tubsiru wa la tasma'. Neither do these stones hear anything, nor do they, you know, see anything. Faja'alaha baytahu al-haram. And he made these stones into his baytul haram. Alladhi ja'alahu lin-nasi qiyama. A place where all people must come and stand for worship. Thumma wada'ahu. And where did he place this house? In the lowest of the grounds. In history, there have been floods in this area. And most rugged territory. Stones and rocks and no plantation, no animals, no water, hardly any water. People, just enough, few wells probably for the water needs to come from outside. Zamzam was something that, you know, was created as a miracle. And even Zamzam, the number of hajis going there, Zamzam is not enough. They add water to it to, you know. So Allah has tested the whole of humanity with a few stones and an area which is so hard to reach. Even today, with all the transportation and everything, well, Imam alayhi salam said if he wanted to place his house in the, you know, best of places, imagine the most green and beautiful places, like he could have created Kaaba in Salt Lake City. There's beautiful valleys, mountains, right? Or in some nice, beautiful green valley or beautiful place with lush green gardens and trees and, right? Could have done that. Some place more accessible. A place where four seasons, you know, we have like always moderate weather and don't have to go into so much hardship. Even today, it takes a lot for a person to go and do Hajj, even in the winter season. Let alone summer. If it's summer, then I mean, those who have been there in summer, they know what it means to do Hajj in summer season. So the most rugged and difficult places, inaccessible places, all this expense needed to go where? To the middle of this place, right? And the test is of tawazu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned, Imam mentioned earlier, I read that yesterday, that Allah tests His creations through means and in ways that they do not know. In ways that they do not know. He could have created Kaaba in a place where there were rivers flowing and mountains and everything, but He did not do that. Why? Because He wants people to come, leave behind all sources of pride, and completely humble themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those of you who have been to Hajj, they know that you spend all that money, you go there, leave behind everything one by one, one by one. By the time you get to the place where you have to put on your ihram, right, you have even put aside your clothes. The clothes that people identify themselves with, their clothes and how they look. And then when you get to Mina, you even shave off your head. Anything that you would call it my identity is all gone. All you are left with in two pieces of cloth. That's it. You have, and no hotels, nothing, and hotel probably a few days. But during the Hajj itself, you leave the place of residence also and camp in the middle of a desert almost. And those of you who have tasted the beautiful and the feeling of tawazu, khushu, you know, that you get in Hajj, you get nowhere else. It is that feeling that you dissociate yourself from all material things, from your cell phones, from your everything. You put aside all that. Everything that could be a means of attachment to this dunya, you leave it behind. So that now, freeing yourself from all this, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? This is a test of tawazu. And all the commandments, religious takalif shar'iyya, you know, all the religious instructions, practices, akhlaq, all of that are basically the requirement. People who reached higher levels were people of tawazu. People who were more humble became great. People who were arrogant, they remained debased, you know. They did not achieve any rank. People who really crushed themselves, their own souls, either for Allah or for humanity even. People who crushed their own egos for knowledge, ilm, they reached higher places. Those who were seeking تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةَ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. That akhirat, you know, the world of akhirat is for those who do not seek any elevated ranks in this dunya. لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا, you know, وَلَا فَسَادًا. They do not seek any elevation in this dunya, nor any mischief they want to create. Neither uluv nor fasad. They just want to live like a human being who sees himself as a creation of Allah and an abd of Allah, who is going to live for a few days and go away, and then in akhirat, which is darul baqa, which is a place of eternity and abadiyat, he's preparing to go there and live over there. And this dunya is not a place of to stay. This is a stay for a very short while. A place where you really belong is not the dunya. Place, you know, like sometimes people ask, you know, are you going to live in the city forever? What would you reply to this? Are you living forever? No one is living forever. They say, oh, you say, you've been living here forever? No, never lived here forever. I came and I will go away like all the other people. And the say in Urdu, "Hum kya rahenge jab na Rasool Khuda rahe." In Urdu they say, how when the Holy Prophet of Islam, who was the best of Allah's creations, could not survive. He lived a few years and then died, passed away. Then who am I? Who are we to be entitled to live any longer? I have, alhamdulillah, I'm leaving this tomorrow morning, and we've had a good opportunity. Alaykum salam. These last 20 days or so, we had an opportunity to serve you all, and we, alhamdulillah, we managed to, you know, discuss a lot of things. And if there are any shortcomings, I seek forgiveness from you all, and inshallah, Allah give best of ajr to all of us. I've basically mostly concentrated on the issue of intellect and rational thinking. Alaykum salam. And I, in different speeches that we had here, I focused on the philosophy of religion and encouraged you all to ourselves to learn, take courses in logic and other things, so that we can be thinkers. And we can explain Islam to other people in a rational way. Also to develop confidence in ourselves, which comes through correct thinking and through a set of beliefs that we have understood ourselves. Not copied, because we've been told rather things that we have reasoned ourselves. Some of the other issues discussed were about marriage. We had some programs regarding marriage, and some very important thoughts were, alaykum salam, presented regarding the issue of marriage. And there's more need to learn, you know, how to improve our marriages and our relationships, which is a constant challenge. As the stronger our families are, the better we have chances of success in this dunya and akhirah. And similarly, raising children who are both, you know, good human beings, and also people who are practicing their deen and mazhab. This is the night of shahadat of Mawla Kainat Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Allahumma salam. This is the time of tragedy and grief. This is the time where the gham and the huzn of Ahlul Bayt became fresh again, just as they saw the demise of Holy Prophet of Islam. Imagine the state of Zainab al-Kubra salamullah alayha on these nights. She was little when she saw the Prophet of Islam pass away. And within a few days, she saw her mother who was killed, and she passed away as a shahida. And then within a few years, she saw her brother Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam giving poison and so much pain that he suffered. It was because of this that when Imam Ali alayhi salam was hit by the sword in the Masjid al-Kufa, and Imam Mujtaba got there and saw his father in that condition and started crying, and his tears fell on his father. Imam Ali, he opened his eyes. Now the wound has opened his forehead all the way till the place of sajda. It was the deep wound with a sword that was poisoned by that mal'oon. And he could not stand up anymore. He was sitting in his mihrab, and Imam Mujtaba was crying, and he opened his eyes, and he saw Imam Mujtaba in that condition crying. He said, "My son, why do you cry like this? Don't you know that the Prophet of Allah, right? Don't you know that Fatimatul Zahra, Khadijatul Kubra, they have all come to welcome me. They are waiting to see me. And I'm going to Jannat and Behisht." In that condition, Imam alayhi salam was taken home. This is a night where Imam alayhi salam finally, he departed this dunya. After 3 days, after 2 days, and this night where Imam alayhi salam suffered the pain so much that the pain of the effect of the poison in his body had reached his feet, that he could not even pray standing up. he was in his bed basically offering his prayers. And Asbagh ibn Nabata, one of the ashab of Imam alayhi salam, he came to the house and he saw the crying of the Ahlul Bayt, and all the people gathered outside, they started crying as well. When the sound of crying came from outside, Imam Mujtaba came outside and told the people that Mawla is saying you all go home. Ask them all to leave. Now it could be because the Ahlul Bayt inside the family is crying, and Imam did not want people to stay outside and hear the crying and lament of the women of the family. So he asked them all to leave. Asbagh says, "I tried to get up, I could not. I stayed there. Imam Mujtaba went inside and came back after a little while and saw me. I am still sitting at the doorstep of Imam's house." And he said, "Asbagh, didn't you hear? I said everyone should go home." And he said, "I said to Imam, Yabda Rasulullah, my feet are not helping me. I cannot get up. I cannot leave without seeing the face of my master." Imam Mujtaba went inside, asked for permission, and took, Asbagh says, "I went inside, and when I saw the face of Imam, I saw that a yellow cloth was tied around his head. A yellow cloth was tied around his head. He said, the face of Imam was so yellow that I could not distinguish which one is more yellow, the cloth or the face of the Imam, because he had lost so much blood in the course of these hours and days that Imam alayhi salam's face, you know, had become so pale." And Imam alayhi salam made his wasiyyat. He's constantly making wasiyyat. Sometimes he becomes unconscious, sometimes he becomes conscious again, and he comes back and makes wasiyyat. To Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, he says to his son that if people turn against you, then you stay home and do not worry about dunya. You repent for yourself and you remember Allah. And Imam gave him instructions which every mu'min needs to read. And when this happened, gradually Imam's condition got so bad that after making wasiyat, ulama say that Imam asked the family members to come, and he asked them all to put their hand in the hand of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salatu wasalam. Except one person. He did not ask Abul Fazl al-Abbas to give his hand on the hand of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam. Ummul Badeen came and asked, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, has my son done anything wrong that you have not given him in the hand of Imam Hassan alayhi salam?" Imam cried and he said, "Ummul Badeen, I have reserved Abbas for my son Hussein in Karbala. He will come. He will come and be the biggest helper of Hussein in Karbala. He is the Nasir. He is the one who is the Saqqa. He is the one who will support and stand by Hussein till the end." Main kuch jumle Urdu mein arz karun, ye shahadat ki raat hai. 21 Ramadan Mubarak hai. Sabse muqaddas raat hai saal ki. اور کوفہ کا شہر کوفہ کی جامع مسجد اور شب قدر اس میں آپ کے مولا جو ہیں اس دنیا سے رخصت ہو رہے ہیں امام علیہ السلام نے وصیتوں میں فرمایا تھا کہ میرے جنازے کو رات کی تاریکی میں نکالنا اس طرح کہ کسی کو پتہ نہ چلے اور لے کر جانا اور جنازے کو پیچھے کی طرف سے پکڑنا آگے کی طرف سے جنازے کو نہیں پکڑنا محدث قمی لکھتے ہیں کہ جنازے کو آپ کے اہل بیت نے پیچھے سے اٹھایا اور آگے سے جنازہ خود اٹھ گیا اور روایت سے پتہ چلتا ہے کہ جبرائیل اور میکائیل حضرت کے جنازے کو آگے سے تھامے ہوئے تھے اور کافی دیر آپ لوگ چلے باہر کوفہ شہر سے اس جگہ جہاں آج نجف کہا جاتا ہے وہاں پہنچ کے امام نے فرمایا تھا کہ وہ کافور جو رسول اللہ کے لیے بہشت سے آیا تھا وہ مجھے بھی لگانا اور چلتے جاؤ جب وہ جنازہ خود سے ٹھہر جائے تو تم بھی ٹھہر جانا جب وہ زمین پہ رکھ دیا جائے تم وہاں میرے لیے نماز ادا کرنا سات تکبیریں کہنا نماز کے لیے اور فرمایا اے حسن مشتبہ تم میری نماز جنازہ ادا کرنا اور نماز جنازہ میں سات تکبیریں کہنا اور کسی کے لیے سات تکبیریں جائز نہیں ہیں سوائے میرے اور میرے حسین کے اس آخری فرزند کے لیے جو آخری زمانے میں ظہور کرے گا اس کے لیے سات تکبیریں کہنا جائز ہے امام نے فرمایا یہ وہ قبر ہے جب تم جنازے کو نماز ادا کرنے کے بعد جنازے کو اپنی جگہ سے ہٹاؤ گے اور تھوڑی سی مٹی سرکاؤ گے تو دیکھنا کہ ایک قبر خود بخود رونما ہو جائے گی یہ وہ قبر ہے جو میرے دادا نوح علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے میرے لیے کھود کے آمادہ رکھی ہے امام فرماتے ہیں جو صحابیوں نے لکھا کہ جب جنازہ وہاں رکھا گیا اور نماز ادا کی گئی اس کے بعد جنازے کو ہٹایا جب مٹی کو کھودنا شروع کیا تو ایک بڑی سی قبر زمین میں واضح ہو گئی دیکھا تو اس قبر کے اندر ایک تختہ رکھا ہوا ہے اس تختے پہ لکھا ہے کہ یہ قبر وہ ہے کہ جو نوح علیہ السلام نے طوفان سے 700 برس پہلے علی وصی محمد مصطفیٰ کے لیے کھود کے تیار کی ہے امام علیہ السلام کو جب دفنایا گیا تھوڑی دیر بعد 2 رکعت نماز ادا کر کے امام مصطفیٰ نے جب دیکھا سرحانے پہ آگے آپ نے دیکھا اندر تو جناب ابراہیم موجود ہیں رسول اکرم موجود ہیں جب پائتی جب امام حسین علیہ السلام نے پردے کو اٹھایا جو خاص ایک پردہ وہاں پہ موجود تھا نور کا پردہ اس کو اٹھایا تو دیکھا جناب سیدہ فاطمہ موجود ہیں جناب مریم موجود ہیں جناب خدیجہ موجود ہیں جناب آسیہ موجود ہیں اس جنازے میں شرکت کے لیے آئے ہیں وہ سب آئے ہیں اور وہ سب حضرات آئے ہیں امام علیہ السلام کے استقبال کے لیے ارے میں کہتا ہوں مولا آپ کے جنازے کو احترام سے اٹھایا گیا دشمنوں سے بچانے کے لیے رات کی تاریکی میں جا کے دفن کیا گیا تاکہ ایسا نہ ہو کوئی خوارج یا منافقین کو آپ کی قبر پتہ چل جائے اور اس کی بے حرمتی کریں لیکن ذرا سوچئے آپ کے فرزند امام حسین علیہ السلام کربلا میں عاشور کا دن ہے اور آخری رخصت کر کے وہ خیمے سے جا رہے ہیں قتلگاہ کی طرف اور وصیتیں کرتے ہیں اور اس وقت آ کر زینب کو خدا حافظ کہتے ہیں اس وقت زینب نے آپ کے گلو کو بوسا لیا امام نے فرمایا یہ کیسا کہا کہ میری ماں کی وصیت تھی کہ میرے بیٹے کو اس طرح بوسا لینا کیونکہ یا وہ جگہ یا خنجر چلے گا لعین کا اس وقت امام نے جھک کر زینب کے کاندھوں کا بوسا لیا زینب نے پوچھا کہ آپ کیوں بوسا لے رہے ہیں فرمایا یہ وہ جگہ ہے جہاں رسن بنے گی یہ وہ جگہ ہے جہاں رسیاں بنے گی
uske baad aap rukhsat hue sabko chhod kar bacche ab bilkul mayus ho chuke hain ab baba palat kar nahi aayenge Hussain ja rahe qatlgah ki taraf koi nahi hai jo aapko sawar kare aapki behan tashreef laye aapko ghode par sawar kiya aap ja rahe hain qatlgah ki taraf aapko sahara dene wala koi nahi aapke saath koi nahi ghoom kar dekhte hain shahidon ki taraf نہر کی طرف دیکھتے ہیں عباس اپنے بھائی کی جنگ دیکھ اس وقت جنگ کر کے جب آپ تشریف لائے گھوڑے سے نیچے کوئی نہیں جو آپ کو سہارا دے کر اتارتا آپ تیروں پہ آپ کا بدن چھلنی ہے ان تیروں پر آپ کا جنازہ معلق ہو گیا زمین پر آخری وقتوں میں جب آپ کو ذبح کیا گیا آپ کو شہید کیا گیا کوئی نہیں تھا جو آپ کے جنازے کو آگے دفناتا جو آپ کو کفن پہناتا ظالموں نے آپ کے بدن پر گھوڑے دوڑائے امام علیہ السلام کے جنازہ اس کی بے حرمتی کی گئی اور جنازے کو صحرا کربلا میں چھوڑ کر وہ اشکیا اپنے لعینوں کو دفنا کر چلے گئے وہاں سے تین دن گزر گئے لاشیں شہدا کے پڑے رہے صحرا میں آخر بنی اسد کے لوگ اپنے عورتوں کے کہنے پر اپنے بچوں کے کہنے پر آئے اور امام علیہ السلام کے پیسر کے لاشے کو آخر دفنایا اللہ لعنت اللہ علی القوم الظالمین وسیعلم الذین ظلموا ایم انقلبین انقلبون بارے اللہ گناہوں کی مغفرت فرما او اللہ forgive our sins او اللہ protect the مؤمنین and مؤمنات across the world especially in Syria where there's fighting going on and the ملعون and the Wahhabis are killing the Shias O Allah, protect our holy places in Iraq. Protect our holy places all over the world and our great centers of learning and Ulama-e Rabbani. O Allah, prolong the life of Rehbar Inqilab, leader of Islamic Revolution. O Allah, make us among the Awan and Ansar of Sahibul Zaman alayhi salatu wassalam.